Hollywood. What's your dream?
Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't. But keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood. Always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
All right, it's Wednesday. You know what that means. It's your number one entertainment show in the Tampa Bay area, Hollywood Connections. Now your host, the lady with all the connections, and also the world's classic Miss Florida Tourism of 2017, Dawn Reese.
Wow, what an intro. Of course, I am the queen of talk show. I have actually a crown, Peter.
Very nice.
I know. We're going to get you a crown, a king's crown, and King James a crown.
I am the king of my domain right back here.
Pete, what size you take? I'm going to Walmart right after the show.
Well, all of you driving, welcome.
Just don't call me the Burger King.
Actually, my son was.
Really?
He was the Burger King boy. I got him in. That's how I started all this.
Oh, he must be so proud.
Burger King much more popular now than Ronald McDonald and McDonald's right now.
Amen. Yeah.
Right, right. And he was the Burger King boy, and he made some good money. And I'll tell you that story another time. In the house, we have Larry
Greenbaum, Larry G.
I know.
Back again.
Tampa Bay Comedy is in the house.
Tampa Bay Comedy, that's
right.
Sunny's Lounge.
Right. And so we actually are going to start you off. You're driving home. You're going, I've had a heck of a day. I just want comedy. And guess what? We're going to give you comedy. That's what today is all about. So I think we have our comic on the phone. Hello. Welcome, G.
Hey,
David
what's
Howard.
Going on?
Fabulous.
I'm in Apollo Beach. So I've finally made the big time.
Ooh, Apollo Beach.
And Apollo Beach getting ready to do a show here.
Very cool. We thank you so much, G. David Howard, for calling in. And before we start your comedy, you're going to give us a little, you know, couple of moments of stand-up or sit-down. And hey, you know our friend Ginger.
Ginger?
Virginia Valbuena.
Oh, yes. Old friend.
Yes, I saw the monkey on your shoulder, and my husband paints her house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I saw the monkey. Yeah, because
she
raised.
We babysit Kobe. Because I had a mountain lion for a pet, and so Jenny knew I liked exotics, and so we got to know each other. And whenever she had to go shopping and do something, she'd leave Kobe with us. So,
yeah, she used to bring him in my restaurant and tell me he was, like a handicapped dog kind of thing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And he'd like go around to the other tables and beg for food. It was cute as hell. Yeah.
Well, we also have King James in the house. We're going to be talking to King James after the set of comedy here. Say hi to everybody.
How you doing?
G. David Howard is on the phone.
I was wondering if what's the with the G and Larry G? Are you related?
No. He can tell you what the G's for.
Well, okay. My maiden name is Dawn G.
Hey, we're all brothers and sisters on this planet.
Gee whiz.
What is the G? I've known you 20 years. I don't know what the G, David. G.
George.
George, okay.
George.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't tell nobody.
George.
You may not want to know that.
Very cool.
But I got over to Apollo Beach early and was able to handle time. I went to the Apollo Beach Zoo and saw their duck. That's all they have. They have a freaking duck.
Just a duck.
One duck, huh?
You know, G. David Howard, you know, when I was in Phoenix, it's so great because I would take my kids to the zoo and I'd walk around and I'd say, look at they're sleeping. Look at they're hot. Nobody comes out. I should have got my money back. So tell us a little bit about your stand-up. Do you want to give us a set?
Well, I got up this morning and the wife said, honey, what do you want to do today? I said, well, we do what everybody else in Florida does is just go out and get in the way. So I hit it to Publix. I love going to Publix. I like to run around in there and put stuff in other people's carts.
Oh, that's funny. I like
that. I ran an old lady up to $387 one time. She was 92, checked out with a Ghetto Blaster, a Snoop Dogg CD, a Rambo knife, and 4 boxes of Kotex.
Wake him up, please.
Oh, yes. King James, are you there?
I was checking out of Publix. Excuse me. I was checking out of Publix, and the cashier looked at me, just as serious. She said, you want that milk in a bag? I said, no, it's easier to pour out of the jug. If I get that home in a bag, it'll slosh all over the car and make a mess. What the hell are you thinking?
Keep going, G. Howard. G. Yes.
I can't help it. I have too much fun. I just feel like the world's a straight man. When the world speaks, I have to respond. So I can't pass up opportunities. My secretary, she walked into my office one day. She said, can I use your dictaphone? I said, use your finger like everybody else does.
We're here. You're live on five stations.
Went out to dinner the other night, and I didn't eat all my food. And a girl said, you want a box for that? I said, no, but I'll wrestle you for a glass of wine.
We're listening. We're here.
They just shut you up. They shut you up all the time. Went out the other night, busy restaurant. Had to wait quite a long time. Finally, the server came to the table, a little chubby girl. She said, sorry about the wait. I said, don't worry about it. I used to be heavy, too.
I like that one.
She likes that one, G.
That's funny.
Good. Yeah, get in here and do a sound check for this gig. We didn't have any stage lights.
Uh-oh.
And luckily, I had some in my car.
Where are you playing in Palm Beach?
He's at Apollo.
I know where he is. Palm Beach.
It's at Del Webb Community. Boy, they got some clubhouse there.
Yeah, but no lights, really nice. Huh?
But they got a nice stage, and a nice sound system, but no stage lights.
Well, a lot of those people probably have a difficult time seeing, so it's probably not a big deal for them.
Yeah.
I was doing a show a couple weeks ago. I thought it was at the zoo, too, but it turned out it was a senior center.
Yeah.
We you need one of those LED lights that I got from eBay. You know?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can just, like, brighten up the whole room and instantly and go blind.
Oh, is that one of those Christmas lights they're advertising on TV with all the different
I have one of those,
effects?
Too. I love that.
I was wondering who bought it.
I searched all over town one day when I really wanted one. Yeah. Everybody was out. Of course, I had to order online and paid more.
Wonder why they would build this. Why would they build a stage and not put lights on? Unless it's a daytime only. Daytime only.
Well, you don't need lights for bingo.
Well, you know, I've been doing this for 43 years doing stand-up comedy. 43 years this December. And I've played, you know, hotels and Holiday Inns and whatever all over the country for years. And hotels were famous and country clubs were famous for spending $5 million on a clubhouse, and then they go buy an $87 Radio Shack sound system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't you love that?
I never understood that.
Or I was down in, where was I? I was down like Fort Myers area, and I did a show down there one night, and I walked up to the guy and said, you got some opening music for me? He goes, sure. What do you want? I said, what do you have? He says, nothing. I said, you don't have any music? He goes, no. I said, you have music on your computer? He says, yeah, I got the two songs for the guy that's headlining, but he says, I got nothing else. I said, why would you go to all the trouble to have music on your computer and not put anything else? You have nothing on there? You have anything on your phone? You have a record in your pocket? You know,
yeah.
Hey, come on, help me out here. Nothing. You had nothing.
I've been at this long enough that there's no gig from hell that I haven't faced. I did a gig in Muncie, Indiana one time and had to build a stage after I got there. They didn't have a stage.
Oh, that's funny.
And we found some pallets in the basement and brought them up and packed some plywood on them, a carpet on it, and made a stage.
Got any pictures? I'd love to see that.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
G. David playing on a bunch of crates, right?
That's
cool.
Pallets. There you go.
That's a true artist.
So how did you start in comedy? What gave you like the edge that you said, I want to be a comic?
I knew in the second grade I would be a comic. I had a gift. I could make people laugh whenever I felt like it. I can make the teacher crack up whenever I wanted to, and I can make the class crack up, and I was burning to do it, and I just knew that I would end up doing this.
See, now, not only do we have a lot of our politics in common, but we have that story in common, too, because, it wasn't that I wanted to be a comic in the second grade, it's just that I was sitting next to two girls on the bus, and I got the cooties.
Uh-oh.
And next thing you know, I was being funny, so I think the cooties was the...
So
when I did the Guinness World Record, I knew I did that four times. I did 10 hours straight once, and then I did 12 hours, and I did 13 hours and 47 minutes, and I did 16 hours. Each time I broke my own record.
Wow.
Wow.
So you actually did it four times?
I did it four different times, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know
wow.
that. I'll have
I
to change
either.
My Facebook post
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. Wow, that's 16, awesome.
16 hours nonstop. And that was without repeating a joke and without sitting down. ever and never took any kind of a break, not even a pee break.
Wow. Do you have a cup or something?
No. No. Mind over bladder.
Just held it.
Mind over water.
So you're gonna be performing Friday night, this Friday, here in Clearwater, before the bridge. Nobody has to go over the bridge. You're in Clearwater off of Highway 19, Sunset Point, Sunset right. Cinemas, Sunny's.
Are you gonna be there?
Yes, Friday. We can't wait to meet you.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
This will be fun. Yeah.
I know.
I like that room. I played that room back years ago.
You opened that room, G.
I did. And
New Year's Eve. We packed it.
I always nice. Liked it.
Sold out show.
Real comfortable seating and good lines of sight. No posts in the way.
No, we have beautiful seats, and we still have the same ones from 30 years ago. They're still there.
I know. Yeah.
But can't beat them.
And they swivel. I like the swivel. Yes, that's really fun.
And the popcorn's good.
Yes. Did you see what happened last week? We ordered some popcorn, you know, and then the waitress, it was wonderful. And then she came back and she gave us a big one so we wouldn't have to order anymore. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, here.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, the comedy was so-so, but the popcorn was awesome.
No, the comedy was wonderful. Comedy was we had good. Jennifer Jolly.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, the farmer was a great show. The farmer had me in tears.
Yes.
Jokes.
Tim the dairy farmer was there.
Oh, yeah. He's a fun guy.
He's gotten better and better, boy. He's really funny. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Have you ever heard Jennifer Jolly? She's going to be on the show, too, today.
No.
She's very, very, very bright, very topical, right on, you know. She's like your little post every day, which we're not going to discuss right now on the radio. She's like right on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, on top of it. Yep. You love her. Very smart.
So I'm sure that, you know, we have you on the air. And this is a question, and I'm not going to try to get too much into it, but what do you think of Amy Schuller? What happened? Anybody want to give a comment?
You know, go.
I think she was between meals, and whenever she's between meals like that, she can just get a lot out of sorts.
Great, I love that.
Okay, that was a statement. Yeah. Yes, that was good. Okay.
Well, I posted on Facebook. I put up that she had Emily Arena holds 21,000. She had a little less than 10,000. She had less than half a house, which would explain why so few people walked out.
All I have to do is just ask him, and that's true. What do you think of that, Peter? Come on, join the conversation.
She was already on thin ice with her Tampa Bay comments, and then she goes up on stage and does something political. It's like, look, I'm trying to get away from politics. I'm trying to get away from this debate. Exactly. I'm coming out to watch you be funny. You know,
absolutely.
And you're bringing it in. I don't understand it.
One of the things I loved about Johnny Carson so much was all those years on TV, no one ever knew his politics from what his jokes or anything he said. And so I took a page out of his book, The Day I Started. I have never, ever done politics on stage. I think it's stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody started this weekend, G, with it, and I could feel the room, you know, the whole room.
You're going to alienate a portion of your audience, maybe half or 25% or whatever. But you're going to. So why would you want to go on stage and take a chance of pissing off half your audience?
Yeah, I mean, there's dick jokes to tell. You don't need to be doing that.
I mean, I can do my politics on Facebook, and I do plenty of that, but I've never, ever done it in my show. Well, I figured people didn't come there for that reason. They didn't come there to hear politics. They came to laugh.
Right.
And so I just always stayed away from it. So I didn't understand why she did that.
Well, I want to make a statement to you because we have not discussed this at all. But out of our 27,000 friends that you and I both have, well, you got 27,000. I got like 300. But none of them agree with us except for like 8, right?
Yeah.
So we should get together and have a scotch together, all of us, you know, eight of us.
Yeah,
I was waiting because I know we have Jennifer. She's going to call in from L.A. And do we have to call her? Hold on. Hey, David, hold on a second.
G David.
I know. I have it down. Right. G David. Right. Hold on a second. Say hi to Jennifer Jolly from Los Angeles.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Jennifer.
How is everybody?
Good. I hear great things about you.
Oh, thank you.
We have the comedy legend G. David Howard on the phone here at the show.
Nice.
So I just wanted to, you know, I figured, hey, you did such a great job. We're going to have you mingle with the top, you know.
Yeah, that's
the top
good.
Of the heap guys.
You guys sounds have to good. Join each other on Facebook. And so, yeah. G, David, hold on a second, because Jen's going to give us a little bit of her comedy.
Okay. Right?
Go for it. Action. 3, 2, 1. You're on.
Oh, hi, everybody. I am Jennifer Jolly. And people always ask me whether or not that's a stage name. Tragically, that is my real name. Not even the most ridiculous name in my family. My mom's name is Dolly, and my parents are from India, so they had an arranged marriage, and now her name is Dolly Jolly. That's like, I feel like that's legit ground for getting out of an arranged marriage. If you have to sound like a cartoon character for the rest of your life, Dolly Jolly sounds like she should be best friends with Dora the Explorer. But she's not. She works in the ER. And I always, like, wonder how her patients must feel when they're, like, dying and bleeding from the head. And the nurses are like, don't worry, sir. Dolly Jolly's on the case. You're going to live.
That's okay.
You're going to live. Yeah. So I was having dinner with a British friend of mine the other day, and he was asking me why Americans aren't into soccer like the rest of the world. I'll tell you why. Because America hates things that are universally loved. We do. We totally do. Like soccer or the metric system or reasonable portions of food. You know? How can we hate the metric system? We are the only country in the world that's like, screw you, multiples of 10. Screw you. We're on to your witchcraft and sorcery, and we will have none of that here. Do you know how easy it is to multiply things by 10? Seriously, it's math so easy that even white people can do it. Hi, white people. Hey, you wouldn't have, don't get offended. You wouldn't have had to cheat off my paper in school if we had the metric system, is the point I'm trying to make. Cheating off the Indian kid. We've all done it. I've done it, and I'm Indian. How sad is that? It's a thing, so don't feel too bad, you guys.
We didn't have any Indian kids in my school. We had to cheat up the Chinese kids.
Yep, exactly. Same, different. But see, that's the thing. That's, like, why I feel so bad for teachers today. Like, if I were a teacher, I would be drunk all the time. They have the hardest job. We got, like, an entire generation of kids whose only life goal is to go viral and catch Pikachu, you know? And they're, like, glued to their phones and their iPads, and it makes it so hard for teachers. You know, like, the other day, my friend's kid came home, and she was, like, whining about her math teacher, and she's like, you know, you don't even know, he's, like, so mean. And I was like, is he mean, or do you just hate math? You know? And then she's like, no, he's mean. If you get a bad grade, he staples a McDonald's job application.
I love
right.
it.
And yeah, listen, they're getting ready to introduce me any minute here. So.
No, that's not even, huh?
Wait, we got to say goodbye to G. David. He's getting ready to do a show in Apollo Beach.
Oh, okay.
He's on stage. He's on stage with his phone right now talking to us.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you should go live on Facebook. That's what all the comics are doing now, live on Facebook.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Snapchat.
Well, it was great talking to you, and I'll see you Friday.
Hey, don't break a leg.
Okay, thanks.
I look forward to doing a more in-depth interview with G. David Howard. He'll be at Tampa Bay Comedy.
Yeah, he'll be there Friday night. Sunny's Lounge, Sun, whatever.
Sunset Point.
Sunset Point, Cinema Bar and Grill.
Thank you so much, G. David Howard, for calling in. God bless.
Have a great show.
All right.
Hey, I can't tell him to break a leg because somebody broke his leg one time on stage.
Oh, really?
Very sensitive.
Are you serious?
Yeah, true story. Yeah, two Canadian guys came up and beat the hell out of him and broke his leg.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Why?
Well, that was in the days. That was in the days when you couldn't piss people off in the audience without being held accountable.
Well, you know, every once in a while, I'll see something on Facebook or YouTube or whatever about that. Like, I've seen videos of comedians getting attacked by someone in the audience. You know, like every once in a while that happens, but that's like, that's so crazy. It's just jokes.
Yeah.
It's not that serious. And also the other thing is like, not all the jokes are real. You know, sometimes people are playing the character of the a-hole. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like they're not really bad people
like
in real life.
From the sublime to the ridiculous, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's not them in real life. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know that I would keep doing comedy if somebody did that to one of my legs. You know?
Well,
wow.
Hopefully we won't have any clowns.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know about
you
that.
You know what? I think one of the reasons I really want to come do this show is so I can tell you the story about the disgruntled clown sometime. Another day. We'll tell the story about the disgruntled clown.
When the circus is in town.
No.
Before that.
Have you ever met him, Jen?
No.
Oh, have you ever had the opportunity to work with the disgruntled clown? Do it.
Okay.
It's quite the experience. I'm not saying it's going to be fun. I'm just going to say it's quite the experience.
That is entertaining. Yeah.
It'll be a story to go home to, you know.
Like John Gacy. Mm.
So, yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
But how things go in Vero Beach? Because you did my room in Clearwater.
Oh, yeah, no, it was Pompano Beach. And, yeah,
I know.
It
I keep saying Vero Beach. That's great.
Yeah, Pompano Beach, it went well.
You have a good crowd there?
Yeah, there was a decent crowd. And some people I had done shows with in L.A. were out there. So Esther Koo was there and, you know, a couple of good people. So that was fun.
Very nice. Very nice. How's the weather out there in L.A.?
Weather out here is perfect. No rain, no drum, no mosquitoes. It's just a bunch of crazy
mosquitoes
people.
In LA. Jennifer Jolly, comic is on.
I think she's making comments about our mosquitoes.
Yes, I see that.
Yeah. I like 1 in 10 people attract mosquitoes more than other people, and I'm one of those people.
Oh, is that right?
Like if we were all in a room together, I would be the only one who gets bit. It's really annoying.
So. I'm having a mosquito problem in my house. Maybe we should have you over.
Yeah.
Hey, well, at least I want to tell you, I drive to L.A. every day in Hollywood, and I would go under the bridge. At least I don't have to worry about bridges falling on me. I'll take mosquitoes any day.
Yeah. But see, here in L.A., people are like, how can people live in Florida? All those hurricanes, you know?
Yeah.
And in Florida, people are like, oh, earthquakes. No, I'm not living anywhere where the ground could just fall apart. No.
That's true. You That's know. Happening in Lakeland by my daughter-in-law's house. There's like these
those
holes.
Those are called sinkholes. That's different.
I know. Yeah.
There's no warning.
You
got to
wear the dogs.
At least you know when the hurricanes are coming. I don't like shaky ground.
That's what my dad says. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what my dad says. You can see the hurricane on the map.
Right. Yeah.
So that's true.
Hey, you know, I was there last week when you were there, Jen. You were really hilarious, too. But it was interesting because you made a statement about your parents in the back. Even though you warned us, I still felt bad for when you were. But I know you probably toned it down, right? You're gonna cut.
Yeah,
loose?
I toned it down a little. Like I have a whole I have a whole thing of just making fun of Indian people, and I just cut that when my parents and my aunt and uncle and stuff wanted to come out. I was like, oh, let me not make them feel too bad about because I think you should make fun of everybody. You should make fun of yourself. There's lots of. I wish people wouldn't just pretend like that race and stuff doesn't exist. Like, there are funny things about all races. Why can't we? I was listening to a little bit of, like, what you guys were saying about Amy Schumer and the politics. Like, I do political jokes, but I make fun of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I make fun of Hillary and I make fun of Trump. You know what I mean? Like, so it, because there's something to laugh at on both sides.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, that's why I think you're so brilliant, because you actually can think of something funny to say about Trump and Hillary. I can't think of anything funny about either one of them. So,
don't say anything.
I'm being sarcastic, Jen.
I was going to say, wait, I can't see your face. This is the thing with radio.
No, I thought you were very you're great when you touched, when you went there, so to speak. And the next night we had a comic in there, and he kind of did a little 10-minute blurb, and the whole room, I mean, you could feel the whole room. It was like, I can't say on the radio, but you know what was tightening up on everybody in the room.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like, why did you do that? I mean, you took the show like from, the energy was there, and all of a sudden it got really, really quiet. I said, because you're pissing one or, half the room you're pissing off,
So. Yeah, you piss, or like, if someone just starts talking, especially like newer comics, about things that are just, I mean, you can talk about whatever's inappropriate, but there are things that are inappropriate for the room in a comedy setting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did a show out in Chicago, and this dude went up, and he started talking about, how he's a little bit of a pedophile.
Oh,
and the entire room was like, oh, and I had to follow that guy. He seemed so normal in the lobby. He was so nice and normal, and we were all
Couldn't you talk about bowel movement? You had to talk about that, Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, really. I was just like, in the whole
pedophile.
Room, it was so uncomfortable that we were like, we need to call child services.
Yeah,
like,
really.
Yeah.
We need to, there's something wrong with this person. You know what I mean? And you never want to do
you
that
should've.
In a show.
Yeah.
No.
A little bit of a...
No, I was...
Yeah, no. Yeah, he was talking about how he has, what he does is he dates girls that are over 18 but look like they're 13.
He's damaged.
And then he goes,
probably doing comedy in prison right now.
Daughter. He said he had a 7-year-old daughter, and the whole crowd went, "Oh no,
Oh no, poor little thing."
So I know
that's
so,
as bad as me watching the other night. I couldn't fall asleep, and I'm watching TLC. You know that JonBenet situation? Remember back in the day?
Yes, I saw that whole series too. Yeah,
yeah. I was on CNBC News and MSNBC and Donny Deutsch show about it because of the pageant world. Now they're making a movie out of it. You know, before Christmas, and they still haven't, you know, I watched that, and they still haven't solved the case. You know, I mean, I have my own idea of, you know, but anybody have a comment on that?
No, the brother didn't do it.
No?
You don't think the brother did it?
Absolutely, I think the brother did it.
Did you see him on Phil Donahue? He was smiling. He was now older. He's smiling. It was just strange.
Even at the time, every time he was questioned, I mean, this kid, there was just nothing there. There was just
But it hurt the pageant world so much, you know, but people don't realize. And it wasn't, people are saying, you know, even though it was out in the pageant world, she was known in Colorado. She wasn't known as a star, you know what I'm saying? That was another thing that, you know, this was a local beauty queen, you know, young, you know, but 20 years later.
Do you think that's good for kids' pageants? Like, would you put your daughter in a pageant?
That's a good question, you know, because I was on MSNBC talking about this, and I do represent, I'm wearing a crown, I do represent the pageant world, and that's a very good question. You know, it's, you know, people go into sports and they go into dance competitions. You see them wearing the makeup, and some families, you know, that's their entertainment and that's the family. And then there's teenager pageants that I'm working with right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be running some in January, and these are nationals. And these kids are on stage. They're winning scholarships. They're winning trips. They're meeting agents and producers. So there's a lot going on. You know, but, you know, I started out when I was a teenager. So, I mean, I wasn't the child beauty, you know, pageant girl.
Yeah,
but I judge.
And that's old enough to make your own choices. You know what I mean? Like you, if you're a teenager, like you know if you want to do it or not. You know what I mean? Whereas like a 5-year-old is a different.
I tell you, I got to just cut in and say that it's really worked out for Dawn though, because Dawn now takes her crown and her banner, her classic Mrs. Tourism, and wears them to Hooters to eat wings.
That's actually awesome.
I have to do that tomorrow.
Life without a little whimsy. Come on.
I like Hooters wings. And by the way, I've got to drop off some attorney stuff there tomorrow.
At Hooters?
Yes.
Are you going to wear a crown?
Yeah, no.
Come on, please.
No, I'm going to be dropping off Sunny's comedy.
You know what, Jennifer, when I first saw you, and when people can't tell what you look like over the radio, you just don't look like a comedian because you're a very beautiful young lady.
Thank you.
Why, comedians can't be beautiful young ladies?
Apparently, I
asked her, did she model? That's the first thing I asked her when I saw her.
Actually, as a club operator, I don't know a lot of beautiful girls that are very funny.
But you are one, Jen. Oh, thank you. I would say that that's true for men and women. Like, you know, being hot is not where funny lives, typically.
Right.
You know, like, you have to have some struggles.
It's not a
like,
face.
You know.
Yeah.
But I get that a lot. People say, like, you don't look like a comedian. And I'm just like, so, thank you. I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
But I never see any Indian waitresses. Do you?
Yeah, no.
Ever. They're all in college for doctors.
Yeah. They're in the back room counting the money at the convenience store.
They're
in the medical field, right?
What is up with that, Jen? I have to ask you that. Is there actually like a college or some kind of a career center in India about buying convenience stores in the U.S.? I mean, really, I'm not being...
No, I think it's a way to own your own business.
But, I mean, why convenience stores? Like, every convenience store, and, you know, most of them do a very good job, and they work hard, and they work a million hours.
It also depends, like, where in India you're from. Like, in Kerala, like, everyone comes here, and we become doctors, engineers, surgeons. You know, like, they don't, you know... Nobody in my family works in a convenience store. They all work in hospitals and in laboratories.
Gotcha. So there's certain regions that are convenience store friendly?
Yeah.
And then
I think it's an opportunity to own a business for a fairly low amount of money.
I gotcha. And then if you don't have any money, you can be a cab driver, right?
That's true. And that's actually what a lot of comics and actors do out here. Everyone is like an Uber driver.
Oh, Uber,
I bet they are.
Because you can set your own hours, and it's a way to make easy cash. You can even make money on your way to a gig if you just pick someone up and take them to that part of town first.
See, I would tell them, hold on, I've got to run into an audition. I'll be right back.
And especially in L.A., there's no place to park. It's almost better to just have someone drive you to your audition. And that way you won't be late and you won't get a parking ticket like I always get.
So how does a comic get out of a parking ticket? I want to know that.
Does a comic get out of it? You can't. Like, they just won't even. I had a friend who argued that, you know what, I'm in SAG, which is the Screen Actors Guild, so you're using, like, for those photo tickets, so you're using my picture to make money without paying me residuals. So he sat there and argued, like, in court about this, like, about how he deserves, like, his money for that. Like, you made money off me, so I should get a cut of it.
He brings his union representative with him?
Yeah, right. He should have. Like, that's how you know you have too much time on your hands and you come from a wealthy family because, like, you know, nobody poor would ever think to do that.
So would you recommend that up-and-coming comedians head for L.A.?
I would say, well, I think you should, if you want to do it seriously and you're trying to, like, you need to go places where you can get more stage time. So actually, Florida is better in that way, you know.
Yeah, because there's shows everywhere in Florida. You can go to, like, gas stations and there'll be a show going on.
New York. Yeah, well, they have that, too. They have shows in people's backyards out here and stuff. But, like, you'll get, you're fighting for, like, 5 minutes, 10 minutes of stage time in here. Like, you have to, like, get out of the city in order to get a 20-minute spot, a 30-minute spot, a 45-minute spot. So, like, I feel like in Florida, you can actually, and going on the road gigs are, like, what makes you strong and how you can really develop your act.
See, I always thought the best clubs are in the, you know, the kind of small-town America, rural America, where there's only, like, 12 channels on their cable system.
Yeah, well, that's how you know if what you're doing is really resonating with real people, because out here, it's, like, a lot of industry, and everyone's jaded, and, like, especially if you're doing comedy, like, on the Sunset Strip, right? Like, that's a very trendy, young audience, so they may be with you. And if you do those same jokes in Iowa, like, they're not going to think that's funny.
Yeah, they're not reading the paper. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they're not, like, yeah, but they're not on social media. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't, yeah, so.
But on the other side of the coin, are the L.A. audiences responsive, as drugged up as they, most of them are?
The comics themselves?
No, the audience.
The audience is cool. I would say they're pretty cool. I like L.A. audiences because they get, no matter what you're joking about, they get it. They're savvy, I would say that.
Okay.
They're savvy. But also, there's a lot of celebrities in the same lineup you're in. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of people who just want to see that person and not really anyone else who's in the lineup.
Yeah,
you know, so you're competing with people who are on, you know, who are leads on shows and films. So that's, like, the challenge.
Well, I'm excited. I got some friends. I'm already hooking Jennifer up there.
Yeah, yes. That's so cool. Thank you.
I have a list. I'll give them this later this week.
That's awesome. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, next time you're in town, we'll have you work the Sunny's Lounge again.
And, yeah, I'd love to.
And my new room that's at the Lakeland BP station on the corner of I-4 and Lake Mary.
Nice.
It's great. You pay for your gas, grab a soda, watch some comedy, and you're on your way.
Oh, you get that pizza outside, too, and that vending machine now. You see that?
I know. Nice.
Well, Jennifer Jolly from Los Angeles Comic, give your website. Tell people to follow you.
Oh, yes, yes. So I am on Twitter at JenJolly1, like number one, and I am FoxyJolly on Instagram. And my website is being redone right now, but it's www.JenJolly.com. So please follow me, free jokes,
and
show dates.
And check TampaBayComedy.com to see the next time she's going to be in town.
That's right.
Yeah,
you coming back for the holidays at all?
I'm going to try. I have a bunch of shows already booked in November and December.
Excuse me.
So we'll see if I can swing it.
All right.
Huh?
If you book this area, you know, I mean, who got you on the radio, right?
Right.
Yeah, no. I mean, booked in L.A. and Northern California.
They pay more over there, Larry.
They pay, period.
Do you see how quickly he called me a traitor, by the way? Did you see that? How quickly they turn on you.
Hey, let me tell you something. You got to be careful what you put on Facebook. One of my buddies, I tried to book him for New Year's Eve, and he told me he was going to stay home and be with his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And just this morning, he won a contest. He's going to be performing there New Year's Eve.
Yeah, yeah.
So you gotta be careful what you put on Facebook. You never know what's gonna.
Or you should just, like, not be a liar.
Yeah,
you can put whatever you want on Facebook as long as you keep it real. Like, when you're talking to people.
I love her. She holds nothing back, does she?
I know, not at all. But Jennifer, I know we have another singer. We're going to play their music while we trade over to get Marty, the top agent, is on the line. I'm talking about monologues in just a minute. Marty, stay tuned. We're running a little over. And Jennifer Jolly, thank you so much. We look forward to having you back at the station when you're in town.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
thank you for having me. Love you guys.
Love you too.
All right, let's go to Thelmy real quick. And she is our new Miss American Showbiz reporter. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good, and you?
Good. We're going to play your music, but before we do, real quick, and we're playing it on five stations, what is the song that you wrote that we have?
It's called Love Life.
Love Life?
Yes.
Love Life. Okay, everybody, and Thelmy, stay on the line, and Love Life, and you're going to stay on with the top agent. We'll be right back. Listen to this.
It's actually Love Lies.
Oh, Love Lies. Love Lies. Okay. So that is actually Thelmy, and she is on the air. She also just registered for radioicons.com, and we're super excited. We have some really fun things that she'll be covering, red carpet events. She's also bilingual. So, Thelmy, tell everybody your Facebook.
My Facebook is Thelmy's Mixologist. My Facebook and my page is Thelmy's Oliveira.
And And what I'll do is I'll share that Facebook page on HollywoodConnections.biz so you can add her. Everybody. And thank you so much, Thelmy, to calling in. Let's get, well, no, great hold song. On the line. Yeah, great song, by the way. Awesome. I want to go rollerblading with that, but let's get Marty. I want you to stay on the line. Marty Moreno is on. Marty, are you there? Morano.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, thank you for holding. I know we had a little bit overtime here. And Marty, say hi to Thelmy. She's going to interview you in depth this week.
Okay, hello.
Hello.
Hello. And before we say hello, everybody, before Larry leaves, Larry, tell everybody about Sunday's Comedy Club this weekend.
I want to thank everybody for staying around for the comedy segment tonight.
Thank you.
We enjoyed it, and it's great to have Jen Jolly and G. David Howard on the show, and hopefully not hopefully, for sure. Next week, we'll have a couple more comics. We'll have a whole lot more fun.
That's right. I think we're going to go a little bit longer, too. We've been discussing more comedy because it goes so fast and people are driving home.
Well, I hope they're enjoying it.
I do, too.
Somebody call and say you're enjoying it, please.
Yes. And now if you go to Sunny's Comedy Lounge.
If you come to Sunny's Comedy Lounge this weekend, either Friday or Saturday night, the show's at 9:30. Friday night, we have G. David Howard headlining, who you heard today on the radio. And Saturday night, we have Steve Eric. Steve Eric describes himself as a rock concert without all the loud music.
Ooh, how fun.
So he's a 70s rocker slash comedian. Very, very funny. We can all relate to him. We've all been there, done that.
Right.
And a whole lot of fun. Either show, come out to Sunny's Comedy Lounge, mention TAN or 1340, and we'll do buy one, get one free on the tickets. Tickets are only $10, so that's $5 a person. You can't see a movie for that.
No, and the food is fabulous. The drinks are great. The comedy is awesome. So, and we want to thank you. Give them your website and your phone number.
It's TampaBayComedy.com is the website. And the phone number to call for reservations or information is 727-741-8014. And it's really cool if you call and you go like, hello. Because, you know, people don't do that anymore. You
really?
Know?
What do
I
they
get,
do, Larry?
I get a ridiculous number of texts all day long from people. Do you allow people 18 and up in the comedy club? Or, you know, is this comedian going to be there next week? It's like, couldn't you just call and ask me that question? But nobody wants to talk to each other anymore. So I would love for somebody to call and let me talk to them on the phone. Let me just say, hi, how you doing? What's your name? And when would you like to come out? And, you know, exactly. I'll even buy you a drink, for goodness sake. Just come call me. Don't text me.
Yes, yes. So come and see Tampa Bay Comedy Club.
TampaBayComedy.com.
.com.
Right. And it's Sunny's Comedy Lounge at the Sunset Point Cinema Bar and Grill.
Right. I'm going to have a poster here pretty soon. So I'm just going to have to turn around and go, there it is.
And see us, where are we going to be? Thursday?
Oh, yes. Actually, let's see. Friday, we're going to be at Safety Harbor.
And we're giving away some free tickets.
Right. And then Saturday, we're going to have a giveaway at the Pumpkin Giveaway event. And that's October 22nd with Carlson Meisner. They're at 250 North Belcher Road in Clearwater. Come and get a free pumpkin and some refreshments and
free
meet some
pumpkins.
Great,
free pumpkins. Free tickets,
yes.
And refreshments.
Yes, yes. And meet some great attorneys.
And maybe we'll wash your car or something. Meet some great attorneys. And maybe we'll even wash your car or something if we, you know,
yeah.
have time, right?
That's true.
You can find a hose.
I know. Well, Larry, thank you so much. We love coming. I know we have more guests and we're going to go and talk to Marty right now. Do you have anything else? You're good? All right. Bye, Larry. Thank you so much. And that's a hand clap for Larry. We got one there. Yay! Sunny's Comedy. Now we have Marty. Thank you, Marty, for being patient. How are you doing?
Okay, fine. I believe today I'm going to be talking about monologues.
That's cute.
What to look for when you're performing a monologue and why it's important to have a prepared monologue. So, may I begin or?
Yes, please. Yes, you're live on the air.
Oh, okay.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. He's a top agent casting.
Okay. Okay, so with monologues, back in the day, people used monologues to audition to get into plays, you know, theatrical plays. Now that's a thing of the past. If you do not have an acting demo reel, you can substitute it with a powerful monologue recorded, okay? It's now being used with a lot of the top cast directors. But one thing, the monologue must be impeccable. And what makes an impeccable performance in a monologue? One thing, transition. If you're getting a monologue, first thing you should know is it should not be longer than 2 minutes. They should be about, I say anywhere between a minute to a minute and a half, 2 minutes the most. And it should have transition. So if you're starting off the monologue where you're serious and then you go to being comedic and then you're going from nervous to silly, that's what they're looking for. Transitions is one thing that you should have in your monologue. It's very important to have transitions. And also you may want to make sure that your body gesturing, your facial expressions coincide with your emotions that you're displaying in your monologues, okay? Now, I always tell everybody, I tell my talent, when you do a monologue, choose something that fits you. Make sure it's age appropriate. I've seen children do inappropriate monologues that may be a little bit on the adultish side. You know, it should be, you know, age appropriate for the kids. So same thing with the adults. You know, if you're an older person, you don't want to do a monologue for a teenager. You know, we're talking about your older person over, you know, 25. So make sure it's age appropriate. Very important. Make sure it's very age appropriate. Make sure you practice. When you get the monologue, I always suggest that you print it out and put little T's for transitions. So you can see where the transitions are. You read it, you say, okay, the monologue seems like I'm starting off happy, and then it transitions where I'm weeping and crying and getting erratic, and then it transitions back into me doing another emotion. So those are little notes that I give everyone. Your monologue should have little T's in between where you see the transitions in there. Look in the mirror. Look at your facial expressions. Look at your body gesturing. You should not have your hands to decide when you're performing your monologue. It should be exciting. So you can use your body gesturing with your hands, your arms, but don't move out of your spot. Stay still on camera. Make sure it's nice and clear. The audio's good. Make sure you enunciate really well. Make sure your tone is good. And I think you should have a great monologue. And like I said, monologues are not only used for theatrical plays anymore. You can't substitute it if you don't have footage or enough footage for an acting demo reel. So does anybody have any questions?
So would a poem be okay for a monologue?
Introduce yourself.
Poem, oh,
hi.
No.
Hi, my name is Sarah.
I love poems. Yeah. But no. And another thing, when you do a monologue, it should be something published. It should not be something where you wrote it and you just thought that you would just, hey, let me just wing something. You know, it should be something that's verifiable and is published. You can find a whole bunch of great monologues if you Google it. And I would always say it's good to have one serious monologue prepared and recorded, and one comedic one, okay? If you have a monologue that has both, it's serious and yet comedic, that's even better. But it's going to help you because if there's a role and it's a serious role and you don't have an acting demo reel, you have your resume, you have your headshot, you send your monologue, let's say the role's serious and your monologue is really serious and it showcases your great acting chops, that's going to work in your favor. So, so that's my suggestion. If you need recommendations for monologues, I have a few books I can recommend. I can send it to Dawn privately so that way you guys can take a look at it. Monologues are fun. It should be fun. It should be challenging. It shouldn't be boring. Don't be boring. Try to stay away from being lewd, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of casting directors don't like, okay, 102 F-bombs is okay, but after that, you know, kind of want to stay away from that, okay?
Marty, I have a question. That's one of our new gals. She was just discovered this weekend. We were at a talent search over at the Wagon Wheel, and she came up and auditioned for us. And tell me your age and how old you are.
I'm 28 years old, and I am Sarah.
Tell me your age and how old you are. That's the same question.
Yeah, I'm 28, and I'm 28, and my name is Sarah.
But Marty, okay. What about now? As a monologue, can you do a scene in a movie? Would that be a monologue?
Excuse me, yes. You can do a scene from a movie, yes. Mm-hmm. That would constitute a monologue, okay? Just as long as it doesn't have any interaction and you're just speaking. It's a big piece. Mm-hmm. So let's say, for instance, if you took a big piece from, let's use Terms of Endearment, which is a great movie, and I'm sure there's a lot of dialogue there where there's a monologue that you can get from that film. So if you perform, as long as there's no interaction and you're able to do a nice, powerful scene, yes, you can use dialogue from a film. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, that's great. And then also, when they audition for you, this beautiful girl here, she would like an agent. If she would come down to audition for you, what do you expect from them? What would you like to see?
When they start off, it depends where they're starting off. If they're novice talent, they're new, then obviously I would try to steer them to what they need. You know, like, for instance, you know, try to build your resume, try to get the experience. So, you know, if I know of any films, like independent films or anything like that, I says, you know, get your feet wet and get some experience. But if they already have experience, I'm going to be a little sterner with them. I expect them to have a nice resume. A professional headshot or headshots, and, of course, an acting demo reel. Because as you start working, you should try to get clips from your films and put them in your acting demo reel. It's very important to have those things. Over here, they're a little more lax here in Florida, but if you go to L.A., top agents will not give you a second look if you don't have all the things that they require. So, yeah.
Now, Marty, I have a question. I have this wonderful man here. He's going to join us this next hour. And say hi to Marty. He's a top agent.
Hi, Marty.
Oh, you have to put the mic closer to you.
Oh.
Hey, Marty.
Yes. Okay. And so he he has an anti-bullying program, but he also wrote a movie script, right?
Yeah.
Do you help people with movie scripts as well, Marty?
Do I help people with movie scripts? Sometimes I get clients that are looking for scripts. So that's, you know, it's good to know that there's writers out there. You know, sometimes there's people that are looking for great writers.
Right.
In fact, I believe I have a friend. She's looking, because she's looking to produce, and she's looking for great writers.
Oh.
So, you know, yeah, I mean, you can send me your info. I can put you in my database, and as soon as I hear anything, absolutely, sure.
Okay, very cool. We're gonna be talking about kids. What do you think about that, Marty? Too, while I have you on the line, we're talking about monologues with anti-bullying. Have you seen that on the sets or anything? I mean, that's a big topic with the kids these days.
I actually saw a kid do a monologue based on bullying.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay.
They turned the subject into a comedic thing, and I thought that was really genius.
Mm-hmm.
The performance was really great, and they managed to turn a serious thing into something comedic. And let me tell you something. There's no, the most therapeutic thing for anyone that suffers from depression or anything like that is laughter.
It is.
And and I think, you know, it's essential. Comedy is very important in everyone's life. You know, you may be stressed or whatever, and you listen, you watch your favorite comedy show, I Love Lucy, The Golden Girls, or something like that, and you escape, and you leave all your troubles away. And this monologue that this kid that I'm telling you about did a great job, and it was kind of being caustic with bullies, bullying them, and I liked it. I really did. So I would try to take, you know, a lot of people are using monologues for things that are happening right now, any current events, they're using it. So, yeah, anything that you could use to even spoof politicians, there you go. You know, go for it. You know, something that's going to be, you don't want anything that's going to be snoozing, that's going to be boring. If it's boring, people go, you know, the person has a good look, they have a little potential, but it's just a boring monologue.
Right.
So you want to get something that's exciting. Yeah.
Marty, we're gonna have you come back for a second. I need you to, we gotta go to the top of the hour. Stay tuned with the top agent, Marty Kessinger, talking about monologues. And if you have a question for Marty, this top of the hour, call us at 727-441-3000. We'll be right back. Marty, stay on the line if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back. All right.